Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue to look at the Sunday that was in the National Football League. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Philadelphia Eagles 45-17, and Jameis Winston threw five touchdowns. It's a team we haven't focused on a lot, but now maybe we should be paying attention. That's why we bring in Luke Easterling. He covers the Buccaneers for Bleacher Report. He's also with DraftBreakdown.com. Help us out, look at the rookies in the National Football League as well. And he joins us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Luke?
Doing great, Tony. How about yourself?
Good. All right. So in terms of Jameis Winston and the play over the last couple of weeks, what has he been able to do over the last couple of weeks that has led to this kind of success?
You know, I tell you, it really comes down to eliminating mistakes and limiting turnovers. What he did early in the season, you know, you take the rookie lumps and you realize they're going to be turnovers and those sorts of things. But you know, you look at week one, he throws a couple of interceptions, a pick six on his first NFL pass attempt against Tennessee. You know, Mariota throws four touchdowns and no interceptions, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, they made the wrong pick, blah, blah, blah. He comes in week two, bounces back, goes on the road against New Orleans, has a fairly mistake-free performance, and they win on the road against New Orleans. So, you know, a couple weeks later, he throws four picks against Carolina in week four, and everybody's like, oh man, here we go again. He didn't turn the ball over after that game for four games in a row. He threw a couple picks last week, comes back this week. So no turnovers in five out of his last six games. So I think that's really what, you know, when you look at the numbers, that's really the one that impresses me the most. And also it's the fact that Doug Martin in that running game in Tampa Bay is really keeping defenses honest and allowing them to, you know, not just sit back and wait for him to make mistakes. So I think a solid running game. The offensive line is overachieving both in the ground game and in pass protection. So they're really, you know, just setting him up for success, and he's playing like a veteran already, 10 starts in.
Is he bringing in the same characteristics or the same personality that he had at Florida State? Because you watched him even in that perfect season into his final season where he would have some bad moments, but it just never seemed to faze him. Does he have that, or have the coaching staff put him in position to say, hey, when you make these mistakes, we really are going to start to do this to sort of minimize it? Or is it just the way he is as a person?
Oh, it's absolutely the way he is. He's got an extremely short memory. You know, he said on multiple occasions this season that he's just he always believes that he's going to win and that his team's going to win no matter what. You know, you go back to the locker room speech I think he gave against Clemson last year, where he just, you know, it just doesn't matter to him. No matter how bad you're down at halftime or what the situation is, he always believes that his team is going to get out of it and that he's going to lead them there. You know, you saw him do it against Dallas. You know, with the game-winning drive, even after having a, you know, not a really great game. So it's, you know, it's just something he always believes, and he's always going to be confident in his abilities. Sometimes as a rookie, that can come back to bite you when you make decisions down the field. But when it comes to, you know, always believing that you're in the game, it's a quality you want in your quarterback, and that's something he has.
You talked about Jameis Winston, obviously. We talked about Doug Martin. What else is there to like about this Buccaneers team?
You know, it's the fact that they have an offensive line that's really overachieving. I mentioned that earlier, but you've got an offensive line that has two rookie starters that have started since week one, two starters in Joe Hawley at center and Gazzar Chairless at right tackle, who really were very late additions, late into training camp because of injuries and really weren't expected to start, who have played pretty, pretty well. And you've got Donovan Smith, who's a left tackle, starting at left tackle from day one and protecting your investment in Jameis Winston, who's really done a pretty good job. Ali Marpet, who's a right guard who hasn't played for the last couple weeks due to injury, but comes in from a Division III school and starts at right guard from day one and really has been probably the best offensive lineman on that unit. So I think that, you know, you like the youth that they have on the team. You like the fact that Mike Evans, despite some drops in the last couple weeks, you know, has made up for the fact that that's been a really banged up unit. They lost Lewis Murphy for the season earlier this year. They haven't had Vincent Jackson until today for the last 4 weeks. Offensive Arian Jenkins has been hurt for most of the year. Until this week, I mean, with Safarian Jenkins still out, Jameis Winston hasn't had his three top targets on paper on the field, but for two quarters this whole season, which was the first half against New Orleans. So you like the fact that even though they've got injuries, they're a young football team that's getting the job done. They started out 1-3. You're thinking, man, 2-14. Now you're 1-3. Lovie Smith, is he going to last? Now he's got this team 5-5, a game out of the wild card. So they're a young team. They're exciting to watch. They're getting it done on both sides of the ball now, and there's a lot to like.
He threw five touchdowns to five different receivers. Does he have a quote-unquote security blanket on that team in terms of a favorite receiver? Because this is a real sense of maturity to go to five different guys and to spread out the targets like he did in this game.
Yeah, I think that's a testament to the fact that he's seeing the field and seeing the defense and taking what's being given to him, whether it's Mike Evans because he's the big name, or whether it's Vinton Jackson because he was back, or whether it's, you know, Harvard grad Cameron Brate or undrafted rookie free agents in Dante Dye or Adam Humphries. I mean, he's going to find the open man, and he's made that clear, and he did it today by hitting five different receivers. Actually almost hit Humphries for a sixth touchdown for a sixth different receiver today. Kind of went through his hands. They had a holding call. It wouldn't have counted anyway. But, you know, he's going to find whoever's open. He's not going to care how much money you're making or when they drafted you. He's just going to get the job done.
Luke Esterling joins us, covers Tampa Bay Buccaneers for Bleacher Report, also at draftbreakdown.com. I know when I talked to you over the summer about this, I find the Tampa Bay fan base fascinating because my wife is from that area. She's a Florida Gator. She's a huge Bucs fan. And in talking to her family, I always get this idea that they live in this like Florida Gator bubble, and then the Bucks come next, and the Jameis Winston pick kind of bothered them because he's a Seminole and they don't like him and whatnot. Has the Florida Gator contingency warmed up to this guy?
Hey, you know, winning cures everything in the NFL, and the fan base is exactly the same thing. I think as long as the Gators are still winning, which they're doing a decent job of right now, and the Bucks continue winning, I don't think they care that Winston's doing the winning for the Bucks. If anything, they're probably glad he's not doing it for the Seminoles anymore at this point. So
right.
I think, you know, again, you take a 2-14 team, you put a Seminole under center, and you get him back to 500 relevancy and playoff talk in late November. I think those orange and blue fans are going to be happy with what's happening in the pewter and red.
Because I did remind them a number of times that they became big Warwick Dunn fans, and then they kind of had to concede that point to me.
Yeah, you know, you look back over the team's, you know, glory years, and really the best players that have played for this team in their best times have come from the big three schools in Florida. So
Yeah. Whether
it's Miami, Florida, Florida State, they have done a great job of keeping that, you know, somewhat local talent and building a quality franchise with it. And it looks like that Winston could lead them back in that direction.
One of the other reasons we'd like to talk to you is to go over a couple of the other rookies and how you're seeing them so far in the NFL. And I want to go with the other quarterback, Marcus Mariota. What do you like about what he's doing in Tennessee?
You know, Mariota's funny because, especially being a Tampa guy and a Bucs guy and going through the draft process, it was such a and it's always like this when you have two quarterback prospects like that. It's always a war. It's always got to be this guy or the other guy. You're a Mariota guy or you're a Winston guy. And I'm like, well, why can't you be both? You know, Winston was number two on my board, and Mariota was number three and a very close second to him in the quarterback rankings. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, there's so many variables with all positions and players, but particularly with the quarterback, you know, your team needs and what you run on offense and what you need personality-wise from your quarterback, that can move one of those guys up or down a notch depending on what you need from him. So, you know, it was really 1A, 1B with those two guys. And when you look at what they're doing on the field, again, for two teams that finished with 2-14 records last season, you have to be happy with what both of them are doing. Obviously, Mariota has struggled a little bit with a knee injury that he sustained, but when he's been healthy, I mean, he's played fantastic. He's the first quarterback if I'm not mistaken, in NFL history to throw for four touchdowns and no interceptions in his first two NFL starts, or in two NFL starts in his rookie season ever. So, you know, he's a guy that, again, we have all these narratives that we think about, oh, Mariota, he's the running quarterback, so he's going to make more plays with his legs. Well, I don't know if he's scored a rushing touchdown this season. Winston has four. You know, so it's just one of those things that things really don't end up on the field as much as people think about and talk about. And I think it speaks to how bored we get in the off season. Sometimes we feel like we have to come up with things to talk about, but I love Mariota. I think he's also going to be a very great player in this league as long as they continue to build that offense around him. Obviously with Ken Whisenhunt already gone, it is already some shake up there. So they need to do everything they can to build around him and his skill set, because I really think he has what it takes to be a successful quarterback and to lead that team out of the cellar.
Luke, are you a little surprised at the early success of Todd Gurley coming back, coming into the injury, but not only that, but being able to get ready, get into this league, and do the things that he's been doing for St. Louis so quickly?
You know, I really can't. I can't say I'm surprised. Even through his whole injury process and the pre-draft process, I didn't take him out of the top five overall players in this draft for me. I didn't obviously think he would go that high. But when they took him with the 10th pick, a lot of people were kind of scratching their heads. And I think fit-wise, I think I was too. I was surprised that the Rams went with that position. But it just goes to show you that the Rams looked and saw a player that was such a rare overall talent that they're like, you know what, we don't care. We're going to take this guy. We know he's special. So when he hit the field, you know, hit the ground running, literally, you know, and just exploded with the games that he's had, it's really not a surprise if you go back to the film and see the things he was able to do in the SEC against some of the best defenses in the country week in and week out. You know, it just speaks to his physical ability also to be able to bounce back from an injury like that and be so effective at the highest level. You got to hand it to the kid. I mean, he's a hard worker, obviously, to bounce back from that, and I think the future is very, very bright for him.
It's really never too early when we always have some fun to look ahead. Where is your projections going for the 2016 draft?
You know, it's going to be a very interesting class, I think, and like we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years, it's going to be very contingent on the underclassmen that declare. We had a record, I think, a year or two ago with underclassmen, over 100 underclassmen, you know, basically are declaring for the draft at this point. So it's going to have a heavy impact on that, but it's going to be heavy in the trenches. We got a lot of great offensive linemen, a lot of good offensive tackles, defensive line guys, obviously, like Joey Bosa from Ohio State, Robert Kimdichie from Ole Miss, Andrew Billings from Baylor is a guy to keep an eye on, just a huge, huge guy that can play pretty much anywhere on the defensive line. But, you know, we've seen that trend over the last few years, too, and I think it's going to continue. This draft is going to be very heavy in the trenches. Quarterback position, not so much. The receiver position, maybe not so much. Some talented running backs, but again, you're going to wonder if those teams are going to spend premium picks on running backs when you can get production out of guys in the middle round. So I think there's a lot of linebackers out there. Jalen Smith from Notre Dame is one of the most fun players in the country to watch, in my opinion. So definitely some plenty of Sunday talent out there, but I think there's going to be a lot of underclassmen in the first round again this year.
I'm going to ask you a question I've asked a lot of people on this show who follow the NFL and college ball and in the draft. Luke, do you think we're ever going to see a day, and I know people had kind of touched on it with Leonard Fournette, where an underclassman who is not available to go right away leaves college, chills out, trains for an extra year, and then goes to the draft? Or is that college experience too important for the NFL draft?
Yeah, I'm a never-say-never kind of person. You know, I think that we've seen too many crazy things happen to say that someone will never try it. And if anything, you can frame the facts to fit whatever narrative you want, I think. I think if you want to say, you know, it's smart to sit out a year, you know, look at the injuries that happen to these guys and what it can cost you, you know, you can go that route and think there will be a guy who will say, you know what, it's not worth it, I'm just going to sit out, I'm going to go to one of these performance you know, companies and just work out for the year and stay healthy and try to, you know, work on things and just train to be ready to get drafted. And then you look at guys like Todd Gurley and you see if you think you're such a special player, you're, even if you risk injury and you are injured, you know, if you're that good and you'll be able to bounce back from it, it's not going to matter. And maybe that is important to get that experience. And some, you know, some people worry that maybe teams will see that as a sign of weakness, that you don't want to go out and compete and you're, you know, you're scared of going out there and putting everything out there and competing against other people and risking that injury, you know, that you'd rather sit back and play it safe. So you can really, you know, see it and argue it either way. But I'm definitely somebody who doesn't say that we'll never see that. It's definitely possible.
Yeah, Luke Easterling again, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bleacher Report and DraftBreakdown.com. Always good talking with you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
You got it. And I'm still fascinated by that. I'm going to ask that to every guy that comes on and talks about the draft. I love it. I get these different variety of opinions because I don't mind a guy doing it, you know, that we'd never heard of. You know, maybe a guy that's not going to be picked high and whatnot. Yeah, maybe that will happen. But the big names, the big guys, the Heisman Trophy candidates, the one sophomore that says, my junior year, I ain't coming back. I'm wondering if that's going to happen sooner than we think. 800-777-2907 is the number. It is Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.